My name's Nick Mortimer. I'm part of the team here. I'm an engineer. I was building a Wheel of Fortune and it fell on my foot. So it's been in that for 3 weeks. Not my greatest engineering moment. But it is redesigned now and it's safe. So I was thinking about this. Matt came to see me and said, "Oh, what do you think drones could do for us?" And we had a quick discussion. I said, "What can I do with a drone? I would love to have that and have a go." So after a quick discussion, I had a quick look around, and there's more and more papers with drones and turtles, you know, drones, megafauna, drones, megafauna, beautiful pictures. It just sells like hotcakes. In fact, there's one story there that was in SBS News. It's 8 hours old yesterday, and it was in just about every regional newspaper as well. They'd all picked up the same feed. So drones and turtles. This is the big end of town. The big sort of drone with launchers and sky hooks, and look at that, that's like something out of some movie, isn't it? This is our version of the drone. The basic sort of quadcopter, I think we spent just around about $4,000 by the time you bought it. Bought an iPad, you know, 6 or 7 batteries and decent charging and stuff like that. It's pretty cheap, weighs less than 2.5 kilos, you don't need as much regulation. In theory, you can only fly it within visual range. Lots of people say that's 800 meters. For me, 800 meters is going well, but I'll stick with the 800 meters. Wonderful tool, takes a lot of getting used to. There are so many software glitches that means every time you fly it, you think you're never gonna get it back. You know, they update the firmware, they tell you can't fly today because there's no internet connection. They just love it. DJI, wonderful company, lots of very, very powerful software in there, but yeah, there's so many hazards to flying the thing and getting it back. So, okay. So, I asked Matt what would he like to know about, and we thought behavior, population estimates, and nest monitoring. So I thought I'd split it into, we flew various missions whilst we were up there. We sort of give it a go. So the first thing I did was say, well, can I actually find turtles with the thing? I flew off the beach and I was looking around, and lo and behold, soon enough you find a turtle, you get to watch it. It's just there. It's great going up to breathe, then off he goes. And it's funny, we got another group at Data 61 are developing turtle tags, and they say, well, you know, we'll program it so it's, when it's at the surface for a minute, then it'll send something. You think, well, how long was that at the surface for? You know, there's all kinds of behavioral questions you look at and think, when you're following it, it's kind of spooky following this thing that's like 800 meters away and you're doing this. It's like the ultimate bad next door neighbor, you know? Anyhow, and when that stops, look at that. Can you see the turtle now? And that's what we're up against. When we come to population next, population say, well, let's fly, we'll get some, oh, free software, nothing better than free software. I'll plan a route like this, and we'll set ourselves up. There's Ned's camp. These are like, you get your thumb on there and you drag it out and go, oh yes. And we're flying at 75 meters, we've got a 2.5 centimeter pixel size, which is pretty cool. And you set that off, it says it's going to take 3 batteries and do 40 minutes. And we're roughly going to do 55 hectares. So that's not too bad. I mean, I reckon you could survey 3 or 4 square kilometers a day with this one drone. If the rules would allow you to fly multiple drones, we'd get even more done. But that's not the rules. So you basically have to have like 5 people standing next to each other with 5 drones. In fact, when I'm thinking about behavioral studies, it'd be great to have 2 people with drones, because when the battery runs out, you could fly another one over there, fly this one home for the battery. And that's another point. The software is designed for going on land, and if it runs out of battery over there, for example, rather than going over the land and coming back to you, no, it takes the shortest path. So you've got like this 5 minutes, you're going, wondering whether it's going to make it back to you and wishing it had gone around over the beach instead of taking the shortest path. So I thought, you know, I got a few images, and I thought, oh, great, look, turtle. Isn't that astounding? And it's pretty good resolution image for 75 meters up. It's not too bad. And, you know, the more you look, I think there's turtles everywhere. And sometimes you even see more than one turtle in the same spot. You think, like, what are those two turtles doing? And you can see all kinds of turtle action. I mean, I'm an engineer, right? I'm not a biologist. Biologists are probably bored with all this stuff, but, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. So here we go. When you're actually taking your pictures, you get to, on land, you get to overlap the pictures. So maybe I've got a 60 or 70% overlap. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me, I'm getting 1, 2, 3, 4 looks at the same turtle as the drone's flying over. And then when you start looking, you think, well, yeah, I can see it there. Oh, not too good. Oh, and there's pretty awful. So when I went to the literature to look at how do I estimate the amount of turtles, I mean, it's fairly straightforward. Apparently this is some Taylor series, and you basically, I usually don't put equations in because apparently you lose 50% of the audience when you put an equation in a presentation. But basically it's the amount of time it spends on the surface, the amount of time it spends on depth, how long you're looking for, and that equation gives you availability. Now, I got this out of a paper. I actually corresponded with the author because there was a plus instead of a multiply. But after we overcome that, issue, he was looking at Oliver Ridley, is it? Turtles? That's a biological name. I'm an engineer, so I'm good. Oliver Ridley turtles, they spend 7 minutes at the surface and 35 minutes diving, and you get this, 7 seconds looking. If you've ever filled in our effort logging, you had to do it in decimal minutes, so that's, you know, that's 7 seconds in decimal minutes. And he gets this availability rate, which is like 17.5%, which is kind of okay. So roughly speaking, when you see a turtle, there's 5 times more than what you see, roughly speaking. So in our case, I thought, oh, that'd be good. So I've got 6 seconds. So I've got a surface time of 0.1 of a minute. I don't really know how long they're diving. In fact, there's a lot I don't know. And then when you read more about this figure should be a lot less than that figure to actually use that methodology. And all of a sudden you're in this sort of mathematical sort of oh dear moment, thinking, how am I going to do this when it's 12 seconds? And then you realize you've got to actually, the great thing about Ningaloo where we're working, it's shallow water, you can see to the bottom. So you've got to think about the surface time, the dive time, the waves, the sun glint, the bottom type, the bathymetry. And if you can get all that together, I'm pretty sure that we can come up with some kind of estimate. And my background is in sort of image analysis and things like that. And I think there's a lot that can be had. So you can work out, you know, the area of dark substrate, the area of light substrate. This is obviously sun glint. You can look at the bathymetry because some things, I mean, that's not too bad, but some things, it'd be impossible for the turtle to actually swim over the top, because it's actually sticking out of the water. So you can reduce the area of what you're surveying, try and get a real understanding on the surveying. But also, you're gonna have different chances of seeing an animal on this background versus that background. So I reckon it's a really fertile place to have a good think about it, and I like having a good think. So that's my next year's work. It's gonna be great. So the other area that I was interested in was mapping, this is more of a terrestrial thing, mapping nesting beaches and looking at trails. It's the first time I went up to Ningaloo actually looking at nesting turtles, which was great. So I got up late, because we'd been up late, and went down to the beach at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, flew the drone. Now actually the new drone software will actually do this mapping in real time. So it will stitch all the photos together in real time, which will save a lot of work. And I wasn't that impressed, really. It was kind of like, well, you know, not too much there. So I thought I'd have a go the next day. And I went there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and just the sun angle meant that you could actually see all the tracks. And I just find this amazing in that, you know, there's so many questions in these tracks. Like this turtle starts off over here. I think it comes in, or she, actually, it's a nesting track. She comes in here and then, oh yes, you know, how does something, you know, is that purely by chance that she turned at that point, or was there some way of sensing that opening, or, you know, their eyesight, I suppose, is developed for looking underwater, But they seem to be quite good on land. And when you look at the tracks, I mean, it's probably known to biologists and all that kind of stuff. When I look at the tracks, I thought, I'll just have this machine approach. I'll try and recognize the tracks, number of tracks divided by two, number of, yeah. And then you look, well, sometimes they come up and follow the same track down, and sometimes they do these kind of things. So maybe this would be, if you had this on a large scale, would be a great citizen science project where you can get all those kids at school to trace all the tracks laboriously and then come up with your data for you. I'm working on that one. What's that? Yeah, that's this year. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay, so this is in quick succession, because I have been powering through this. So what have I learnt? Well, turtles can be followed. I can do the business with the drone about 10 meters above the water is great. I can assess the visibility over different bottom types. You can watch it swimming. They're incredibly hard. When one of them goes over the green and then does a 90-degree bend and swims off in an unknown direction, it's really hard to follow, because you're just doing this in your head. You're doing a Kármán filter. Yeah, you've got the Kármán filter in your head and you're just predicting where it's going to be, and when it doesn't appear on the other side of the green where it's going to be, you've lost the turtle. So it's been really interesting. So I think residence times on different bottom types would be really, really useful. Population estimates, I think the multi-look aspect, rather than video. With video, I think you're going to generate huge amounts of data. I think the images are probably still a better way to go, but I'll have to assess and evaluate that. Automation of image area and availability, so automatically assessing images for bottom types, sun glint, things like that, I think will really help us. And develop a model for population estimation. There we go. Monitoring nesting tracks, obviously best early in the morning. Difference between days, I showed a little bit of that, but I think there is some real value in the whole thing about drones is they're cheap. I can fly it every day if I want. It's not like it's going to cost me a fortune. It's pretty cheap. I can fly it every day and get the difference between days. Also, the tidal information, there's a lot of, when you look at the tracks, because you're flying, there's a lot of information in how the tide has erased the tracks and things like that. There's quite a bit of information there. And if we were allowed by CASA to fly at night with an infrared camera, there's a lot of people doing it worldwide. But if we could do that at night, I think we could really have some cool stuff, because we've done quite a bit with the image IR cameras, and there's a lot to be seen. And that's probably about it. The last thing I would say about this shot, drones in science communication, everybody loves them. Take some good pictures. It really can further your science and people's appreciation of it. So I'd always say be legal. You're not allowed to fly in a national park without permission. It's illegal to take off an aircraft or control it or land it on Commonwealth land unless it's an emergency. So if your drone is burning in the air, I think it's allowed to come down, but you were never allowed to launch it in the first place. So just be careful. Make sure you've got all the permits and stuff. But it's a good thing to do. I'd just like to acknowledge Cindy, who I don't know if she's here. She really helped me with a bit of speech coaching, and I think that really improved my presentation. So good one, Cindy. Thank you.